from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
And we're back. We are back and depressed. At least I am.
What are you depressed about? The last day of 6-10?
A little bit. It's a little bittersweet.
It is a little bittersweet, right?
Yep.
That's about all that's got me down, man. Like,
I don't know. That game last night.
I turned it off when they were down 5. I bounce out of these things, man. You lost by 10. You didn't keep my
interest. Oh, I definitely didn't watch the whole thing. I mean,
it's once, getting to that point now, though, where they got to reel you back in.
Yep. No, once Mike Garcia made the air, I rolled my eyes, crushed the Miller Lite can, threw it in the trash, said, all right.
That's it for me.
What else is on the agenda tonight?
Nothing.
Bobby Flay's triple threat.
There you go. That's
Andrew
a good
Zimmern
one.
Was the surprise guest, and he looks a lot different these days. Has a beard now, tinted glasses. But let's address the elephant in the room. This is the last day of 610 Sports Radio.
It is, man. It's exciting. It's you know, kind of reminiscent. And you guys on the text line today can text in your favorite 610 moments. Dusty and I will do ours a little bit later on in the show. His in the 8 o'clock hour, mine coming up in the 9 o'clock hour for some of the great moments that we've experienced here on 610 Sports Radio. But, I mean, my goodness, man. It's been, you know, what, 21 years, I believe. They launched this in right around this time in 2003. They launched this station. I've been here 14 years. You've been here 9 years to the day or something, right? Like today is 9 years for you. That how fast did that time go, first of all, right? I mean, well, my God.
At what point do you want to talk about? Well, because the first three were pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Driving home back to Lee Summit going, am I sure I want to do this?
Do I really want to be in this radio thing?
Did I really get up at 7 a.m. on a Sunday to produce an hour church show?
Yeah, you did, brother. You did. You're the last of the old bastion of work hard and it pays off, I think. I don't think there's many folks like there anymore, right?
I hope people
want the instant gratification right away in life, and sometimes it just doesn't work that way, and you're a good lesson, and you know, all of us, we work hard and eventually get to where you want to go, but you know, it is a bittersweet day. Tomorrow we become 96.5 The Fan, and that's going to be exciting, man, because you're going to have the Chiefs on the station, we're going to have the Royals on the station, we're going to have K-State on the station, we're going to have Missouri on the station, all of us are going to be on the station, and we're going to be in Crystal Clear FM, so tell all your friends that we're moving over to the FM dial, and for those on the FM dial who don't know who the hell we are, hey, you get a new radio station launching tomorrow, and I think that's going to be a lot of fun for all of us. There's going to be so much we can do with the FM signal and whatnot, but I mean, 21 years of this radio station, man, it started not so great, and it's ending, I think, in a wonderful spot. Like, I think everybody here at 610 Sports Radio and those who came before us and whatnot really did a great job of putting this station on the map, and through the 21 years or so, we've had some unbelievably memorable moments, you know, on this station, some not so memorable moments on this station, I'm sure, for a lot of people, but it's been a hell of a ride, and I'm excited about the future, man. I really am. I think for a lot of us, you know, moving to the FM, we would have loved to have done that, you know, 25 years ago, right? It would have been awesome, but we're doing it now, and we get that opportunity to be on the FM dial and be the only and first sports station on the FM dial in Kansas City. And I think a city like Kansas City with the sports that we have, especially right now, but more importantly, the sports fans that we have, they deserve the FM sports signal because this is as passionate a sports town as you're ever going to get. And I've been saying that even before these teams are winning, Dusty. People would talk about all the time, like, you know, what are the best sports cities? Who has the best fans? They'd be like, Boston, New York. I'm like, no. Kansas City is out here rooting for a 100-loss baseball team and a very average football team. So that is the best sports city in the United States of America, in my opinion. And now we get to kind of put the cherry on top with it tomorrow with the FM sports station. I mean, this time tomorrow, you and I are going to be the first voices ever heard on 96.5 The Fan, right?
Yeah. And I thought it was a funny joke yesterday. They said Kling should come back for the first show on 96.5 The Fan and be like, this is what Dusty sounds like in clear FM radio voice.
Yeah. But,
no, I think today, Bob, is one of those days where, yes, we'll do this show. We will talk a little bit about the Royals. You know what happened last night. We don't need to address it. We'll have the skipper of the Royals on the show at 9. But today is all about, to me, I was driving and thinking about this. I was thinking about how I mooned Mac yesterday when he got here. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, showed him my full ass.
Nice. Fantastic. What'd you get, your pants fall down the parking lot?
No, dude, I went straight Billy Gunn and just pulled him down and said, hey, welcome to work, Mac.
There you go.
Great today, start to the morning.
Today, not only that is the last day, but a day that is going to be remembered by myself and you as the last day, and then tomorrow's huge.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's, I mean, gigantic.
Right.
And it also made me think of, like, I didn't always do this, and sometimes I like to be relatable to the listener because, like a lot of people out there, today's a lot about you, the listener. Today's a lot about the people that do your job by tuning into us or Carrington or Cody and Gold or Binkley, or when you listen to After Hours and you become, you know, part of radio family.
Yeah, like, oh yeah.
Without that, we don't do this. Without listeners and without fun moments, I don't get to this chair. And I was thinking, how do we make it about the fans? So you could obviously text in, whatever, but it's about listeners today because as we wrap up a life of 610, we also begin a new life of 96.5 The Fan. And it's all what we're seeing already. Like, I can't wait for your FM station. It's currently listening and it sounds like blank because it's raining. So it's struggling to find signal. So, I mean, like, you won't have to worry about that. When you go to Bait City to get barbecue or whatever it is, a pack of cigs at the discount liquor and smoke store on the corner of I-70 in Bait City, you don't have to worry about losing reception. But I thought about that when I drove in here. I'm like, man, obviously, like, we had the topics written out about top five moments. I'll get into mine at 8 o'clock. They're pretty funny and they're pretty awesome. But the thing about today at ending with 610 Sports Radio, and you can type in your favorite moments, is there's a lot of different things that are going to happen moving forward. Like, I can be honest with you, today's the last Wayback Wednesday.
Yeah, it
after
is.
After today,
yeah.
Wayback Wednesday is gone.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It'll be Throwback Thursday.
Yeah, the actual thing. So today, Wayback Wednesday, text in your song, text in your name, 913-586-7610.
I don't know if the text line is remaining the same. I would imagine it would be for now. I mean, we haven't been told.
Bob and I are not going to a different studio.
Nope, same studio, same place.
Same
nothing's
one
changing.
TV that works out of the two.
Right.
And that's what to me is interesting because I'm sure that a lot of you have your favorite 610 moments.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I remember going to college or graduating high school and not knowing what I was going to do. Right. Like, I was like, how am I going to, you know, get into sports? How
so
do
you
I do
were
this?
Normal.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And I knew I wasn't going to go to, like, the high-up schools. I wasn't going to go to J school from Missouri. I wasn't that intelligent. I didn't have the credentials to get in. But I figured, how can I get in? And I just remember, man, like, driving to Warrensburg when I got into college. I got into their communication department. Shout out Darren Plummer. Shout out Joe Moore. All those guys that educated me. And I remember I would commute my last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got my car, it was Fesco in the morning with Bob Fesco and Josh Klingler. And when I would drive home, it was to drive with Danny Parkins and Carrington Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got an internship here. And then I got hired here. And now it's like a full reality. But I know what that's like to know that when I get in my car, the preset was hit. It was 610 Sports Radio. And it was Lawnmower Talk at 8 o'clock. It was, you know, rants about cider. It was whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And it was cool because, like, I know what that feels like to be part of that. Like, that's, you know, Some people get up in the morning, they watch The View. They have to have their coffee in The View.
Right.
How they do that. But some people, when they get up in the morning and have their job and start their 9 to 5, they get in their car and they're like, oh boy, what's Bob going to say about the Royals today?
Right.
And that's
not
what,
much today.
Yeah. We suck. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Nah, look, they're tough. Having a good season. They've won 2 games in the last week. That's not great. And they lost by 10 yesterday.
Today.
Yeah. What are you going to do about it? It's baseball. It's one day to the next.
It doesn't change your life.
No, it really doesn't.
It really doesn't. It changes your fandom, which is okay.
Like today's is a daytime game. I don't know how many people are going to check in for that game. Right. And find it on the screens or whatnot, or, you know, kind of change their day around to watch a day baseball game. You know, it's a day game. It happens, you know? So I think a lot of people are going to be out of touch with that today. You lose by 10 the night before, probably not the best way to bring people back in.
And the way that I relate to that is when I was younger, and if the Chiefs, which they did a lot of losing when I was younger, I didn't watch SportsCenter the next day.
Oh, Mondays would suck as a child.
Wouldn't watch it.
But it still sucks as an adult. I'm not going to lie. Like, the rare chance that the Chiefs lose a game right now, I hate it. Like, I'm 47 years old, and if the Chiefs lose a game, I don't want to get up in the morning on Monday. No. Like, it really does.
You don't want to get up on Monday.
Yeah. Like, it does affect your whole week, you know? Yeah. Like, it really does. And I remember as a kid being that way. You know, when the Giants would lose, I'd be like, oh, I don't want to get up. I don't want to read the paper. I don't want to do anything. And the more and more you talk to people, the more and more, like, everybody is like that. It really is a tone setter for everybody, not just in Kansas City, but everywhere. Like, your football team really does determine the mood of your city the next day, especially when you got a team that you think is going to win a championship every year, which under Carl Peterson, they did a great job of putting out a product every year that you thought was going to be a championship type of football team. And then they lose a couple of games and everybody get mad and it affects their whole life. And like, even now, I mean, even this era of the Chiefs where they go 13-4 or something like that, those 4 Monday mornings, like, damn, I don't really want to get up today. This sucks, man. Like, and I think we all live that together. And you know, sports radio has allowed people to live that together and to share those, you know, moments together. And we've shared a lot of moments on this station, from the good to the bad to the ugly. And I mean, we've really covered the gamut. We've got World Series champions. We've got Super Bowl champions. We had the 2012 football season that ended with the murder suicide with Jovan Belcher. We had the Royals winning a championship. We had the Yordano Ventura situation that happened that we all lived and grieved together, you know, throughout all those times. We've had bad teams that we've all lived and grieved together with, you know, when teams weren't good and whatnot. We all kind of, you know, had a glass box of emotions, as you said, and sat here and we all vented together and did our thing. Like, this is a real community, and I feel like our community is going to get bigger, obviously, when we move to the FM side of things, but we're never going to forget the 610 community, all the great listeners that have come along and friends that you've met over the years because of this radio station. Right. I mean, there's a lot of people in my life right now that I didn't know that were listeners that became friends of ours. I mean, we got people all over the place now that have become friends of ours because of this radio station, because you guys believed enough in us and would come out to events and introduce yourselves and have conversations, and good conversations on social media are always fun. Like, this radio station has been a huge part of my life, a huge part of my children's lives, a huge part of my wife's life. Like really has done so much and provided so much for us. And it's because of you guys, because you guys listen, man, and you made us the best sports station in Kansas City. And now we're doing you a favor. We're flipping the script and we're giving you a better signal on the FM to make this thing even better, man. So we're really excited about the move. I know I am really excited about the move. I've been wanting to do this for a number of years, but it's never going to, you know, take away the memories that we've had here on 610 Sports Radio. And so give us all your thoughts and memories and whatnot from 610. Hell, you want to call in today on the last day of 610, 913-586-7610, 913-586-7610. You want to call in today and voice some of your opinions on 610 and say goodbye to 610. Now, we will still be simulcasting on 610, right? The stuff will still be simulcast
on 610.
We'll be
61 country to the text that keeps coming.
Yeah, we're not going back to country music or
say goodbye to Hollywood,
anything like that. Even though at 6 o'clock tomorrow, we should, instead of simulcasting, start playing country music and get the folks at Chillicothe really excited about that, because I know they're the ones who miss it the most. up there. But yeah, if you want to call in and say goodbye to 610, 913-586-7610, the phone lines are open for you. Your texts are there as well. We'll get up to a lot of those. And, you know, there's just a lot going on today. It's a great day in Kansas City sports, and tomorrow becomes a different world and an even greater day for everybody.
Yeah, it's sometimes the end can be a beautiful thing. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. This is the last day on 610 Sports Radio. This is the last day of Fesco in the morning. We'll explain on the other side about a poll question Bob has. He can't let it go.
Should I?
610 Sports Radio. Back here on 610 Sports Radio, the last time we will say that. Well, I say that. I guarantee you I butcher it tomorrow. But
of course you will, and that's fine.
Tomorrow is great. The transition to 96.5 The Fan, and we will be calling the show Fesco and Dusty.
That's right.
So
I sold 50% of the show to Dusty. Nice windfall for me. I'll take that.
A huge loan out of the bank. But this is also the last Wayback Wednesday. This one comes from where?
This is Detroit Wednesday? Derek. He's taking his daughter to college today, to the University of Missouri, and she's been listening to us, well, I guess for 14 years, at least I know of, right? And so now she's off to college, and that's the one that always gets me, Dusty, is
college?
That... No, it's like when people say, I've listened to you my whole life growing up, and they start going to college and moving on, and you're like, damn, you haven't... Well, 14 years is a long time. Like, if you start listening at like 8, you know, here you are. You're off to college and through college and doing your thing. And so I get it, Derek, man. My daughter starts high school today, went yesterday for that first half day, and now is the first full day. It goes so freaking fast, my man. So enjoy that ride to Columbia with your daughter. Give her a big hug when she steps foot in Como, and know that she's going to have fun for the next 4 years being in college. College is a great time for everybody.
Oh, boy, was it. Oh, boy, was college fun.
Boy, so good.
Shout out Pine Street in Warrensburg.
Shout out Pizza Shuttle.
There you go.
Two for all for myself.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. What was the barbecue place in Warrensburg that was open?
Was it Biffle's Barbecue? No, that was in...
Where
the hell was Biffle's Barbecue? That was in... Not Sedalia.
Back to the Future.
No, Biffle's Barbecue was in... what the hell is the name of that town now? I'm going to lose track. I can't remember. They're Eastern Jack. Maybe a little...
Perry Foster's. That was the name of the barbecue joint. A lot of famous people were in there. Derek Thomas.
Why do... like, every barbecue place, like, we had a famous person walk in. Actually, every restaurant has a famous person that walks in, don't they? Like, a famous person wall.
I worked at Jack Stackley Summit, and Shia LaBeouf was doing one of his weird things, and he was hitchhiking.
Yeah.
And he had a couple pick him up, and he came into the restaurant and ate... And he got up to use the restroom, pay for the entire tab, tipped the server $150, and left. And people are like, what happened to that guy? He's like, I guess he left. Concordia, Biffles.
Concordia, Biffles. Yeah. That's what it was. Oh, yeah, the Rib Crib. There's an old school one as well.
That was in Warrensburg. Worked there as well.
Did they have? You worked at the Rib Crib? Mm-hmm. They had a Rib Crib up in St. Joe. I remember. Mm-hmm. I think it opened right when training camp started up there. And I think it was Tuesdays. It was like,
Tuesday.
$10 all you could eat ribs or something like that. And that's when they used to make us live in St. Joe for 3 weeks at a time in a Holiday Inn where there was smoking.
Beautiful pink skies out there this morning.
Storming? Is that what that means?
No, but I think it is going to rain again today. I got some good news, guys, yesterday. Boss texted me. We're doing our family day at the K on Monday, right?
Yep.
Guess who's throwing out the first pitch?
Don't spike it.
Let's go. Yeah, dude. He sent me a text. He goes, how would you throw the first pitch to your dad?
Oh, that's awesome.
That's cool. Yeah.
I called my dad immediately and I said, hey, what are you doing? He's down at Table Rock Lake right now having his vacation in the summer. I said, hey, dad, what are you doing? He goes, well, it's freaking raining out here. That's as much as he'll cuss to me, unless the Royals are playing, which if he watched that game last night, praise be to my stepmom, because I know that she was just having to deal with it.
Hopefully he didn't watch that game last night.
No, he did. It's a train wreck, man. You can't turn your head.
True.
And then the texts come in, and for the first time ever, like, my dad's a bit dramatic when it comes to the Royals. And I was like, nope. You're right. You're right. Trust me. You are right. So I called my dad, and I was like, hey, you know, how's it going? He's like, it's raining. It kind of sucks out here. I was like, well, how would you like to help me throw out the first pitch at the Royals game on Monday night? And it was like he almost had a heart attack.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Phone.
That's cool, man.
So we'll ask Quatrero if he has any advice for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw it from the slab.
You have to.
I'm not going short. I'm going to throw it from the slab. Didn't know if I should do the move from Angels in the outfield where Bass goes around the mound a couple times.
Just get up there. Just get up there and throw it, man.
Bass sets, and sets again.
Have you ever been on the mound at a game?
Absolutely not.
Okay. it is. I'll just tell you, it's a different world out there.
I can't wait.
Like, you'll be like, oh, crap. Everybody in the world is watching
I'm
you,
get the
paying
crowd
attention.
Up.
Yeah,
I'm
you think that, and then you're going to get out there and go, ugh. There's a lot of people here watching me throw out this first
pitch.
Ain't
no stage.
Don't bounce it. Oh, son of a gun, he bounced it. Or you could be like me and screw up Kling's first pitch a couple of years ago. That was always fun. So
yeah.
We got that going for us, which is nice. And hopefully some other news comes out about what we're going to be doing on Monday out at Kauffman Stadium. So if you didn't get your tickets now at Royals.com and join us out at the K for all of that. Speaking of the K, I put up a poll again because this is one now I think that we need to kind of look at because the starting staff has stunk the last couple of nights and the Royals have only won, two games in the last week, if I'm not mistaken, one against the Red Sox and one against the Cardinals, right?
Yep.
Two wins in the last week or so. September 1st is the deadline to have folks on your roster before the postseason starts. So if you want somebody to be on your postseason roster, they have to be on your regular season roster before September 1st. That day is coming up rather quickly. We're a couple of weeks away from that. And the name that keeps coming up to me and the name that I keep hearing and from people in baseball, like, why don't the Royals sign Trevor Bauer? I mean, they need the pitching help. And I've been there for a while now with that. And you're getting ready to make this postseason push and you want to get into the postseason and Trevor Bauer is still out there and you clearly need help now in your rotation. You clearly need help now in your bullpen. I would go out there and absolutely sign the guy. There's no question in my mind that I would sign Trevor Bauer. And I put the poll up yesterday on X, formerly Twitter. Mm-hmm. Would you sign Trevor Bauer? Pretty simple question for the fans out there. And right now, with a couple hours left to vote, 66.3% of the vote says yes, the Royals should sign Trevor Bauer. That, my friends, is a landslide type of vote. Royals fans are all in, according to this, you know, this very unscientific poll, but close enough about signing Trevor Bauer. It's 66% of the people are saying, yeah, go ahead and sign Trevor Bauer. And I think the Royals, man, they kind of owe it to everybody right now, owe it to themselves to try to get into the postseason. And with the way that the pitching staff has been over the last week or so, it may be time to look outside the organization and think of doing something different. And Trevor Bauer's right there, ready to go.
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, it's okay to disagree. I'm good. I just don't see a fit. I know he's former Cy Young, but he hadn't thrown a baseball in the major leagues in, 2 years? 3 years? But, I mean, look, if it's going to go where you need help, I understand the logic behind it. I understand that if you want to add something that does, you know, whatever it may be.
Why are you against Trevor Bauer?
I just don't think he fits the theme of this Royals team.
Are you saying because of like a bad clubhouse guy and all the stories that we've heard over the years of him throwing the ball in the Kauffman Stadium fountains and
that
things
like
that?
That was awesome. I was at that game. I remember when he did it, Vern looked at me and goes, he just do what I think he did? And I was like,
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, he did. I mean, I just, look, I've used the analogy all year of the ship. Last night I sent the gif of George Clooney drowning with the ship. That's me. I'm the captain. I take full advantage of that. I'm not jumping off. It's rocky. It's tough.
Right.
But I think that this team has built its mold. They know who they are. They know what they want to achieve. And when you bring somebody new in like this, that's a very, you know, polarizing person, whether you like him or dislike him, I just think that that's something that can shift what is currently the group or the clique of this team. Like, we know what this team is. We know what the core of this team is. And I don't know if that's necessarily something that this team needs.
Yeah, I think right now, though, you kind of need that infusion. I think it would be looked at from inside the clubhouse as one of those moves like, all right, now we're really in on this. They're going out there and they're getting this guy. And look, I think, you know, Trevor Bauer has paid his penance. You know, he's done his time away from Major League Baseball. It appears much like with, you know, other athletes that we've seen over the years. Nobody wants to sign this guy. I mean, look, I understand he's got the baggage and whatnot, but you're this close to a player. You're one game up now. That's it. You're just one game up of that final playoff spot. And so you want to make sure you secure a playoff berth. Trevor Bauer is going to give you that opportunity to do so. I mean, the way Seth Lugo pitched yesterday was not inspiring at all.
Like, did we jinx him?
I don't know. I mean, you know, you got to go out there and you got to pitch like an ace. He did not last night. No. Brady Singer is a number four starter at best that we're trying to rely on being a number one or number two starter. And that's just not the case. He's a four at best in this rotation. And so I think from my standpoint is you need a guy who's got something to prove too. Like, I think he would come here and be very good. I think he would come here and be an infusion for this team. And I think it's important, like we talked about yesterday, for Bobby Witt to get into the postseason. And a guy like Trevor Bauer could put you over the edge. Like Johnny Gomes came here. He wasn't exactly, you know, the greatest baseball player in the world, but he added a little bit of chutzpah, if you will, to this team and came in and gave them a little bit of street cred and, you know, had an effect on that locker room and whatnot. So I don't think it could be a bad thing. And Trevor Bauer, I think, probably deserves a second opportunity. Why not give it to him here? And it's not a long-term deal. You don't have to be with him after this season. If it doesn't go well and he does become a pain in the neck in the locker room, well, he's done after this year. But at least you give yourself the opportunity to put your best foot forward, because right now I think this team is struggling in a major way from a pitching standpoint.
I do think they need somebody like the Raul Ibanez effect, where somebody on this team, whether it's Vinny, whether it's Sal, whether it's whoever, I think does need to have somebody go in there, and maybe it happened last night. I don't know. But, you know, kind of wake it up and say, we ain't going home yet, or do the whole rah-rah thing where you have the closed-door meeting. Because, look, you're close. You're close to missing out on something that could be really, really awesome, you know, really, really great.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've worked all year for it. Don't let it slip. Maybe somebody needs to fire a charge in somebody's ass in that locker room. But coming up, we say goodbye to Hollywood. Well, for about 4 weeks, Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. It's Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio. Back here on a way back Wednesday on Fesco in the Morning, 913-586-7610. You text into that number with a song and your name, and Mac does the rest. Mac, where are we at here on a Wednesday?
And for the last time.
Yep.
This is the last time.
This is it.
This is it, man.
Throwback Thursday begins tomorrow.
You could say this is the final countdown.
Oh.
By chance, you know. Aussie with the request.
There you go, Aussie.
Our guy. Shout out to the breakfast the other day. Crushed it. Biscuits and gravy is a love language for me.
Same, man.
Wouldn't touch it if it was the only thing to eat on earth.
Oh, yeah. Me and Bob went to breakfast one time. He just sat there and stared at me eating biscuits and gravy. Then I found out later he's repulsed by it.
Yeah. It's never
judging you.
No, I wasn't judging him at all. Yeah, if I was judging you, I would have said, what are you ordering that for?
But then the fact that you didn't order anything, you just stared at him. I could feel the judgment in Fesco's eyes.
Exactly.
You eat what you want to eat. I'm not going to sit there and judge you. It's just not for me. So I saw a tweet yesterday, like, what wouldn't you eat if you were starving and it was the only thing out there? Because they were talking about the Will Levi's mayonnaise thing.
Beets.
I could sit down right now and eat an entire can of beets and have no problem with it.
Yeah, beets are fine.
I like beets. I don't mind beets.
Yeah.
From Shroot Farms, they're some of the best. And you get them in the can with the, you know, the purple juice and all that stuff. It may stain your shirt, but, man, I like beets. I have no problem with beets.
Isn't there a steak place here?
I could beet all day, man.
Isn't there a steak place here that gives you beets or something? Is that when I was a kid? Bill, like, instead of chips and salsa? You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. And now I'm trying to
think about
what that was. Because
back in the day when I was a kid, I was like, why are they giving us beets? Yeah, I remember that.
I think you're right about that, because I vaguely remember that. I don't think it was like the Golden Ox or whatever.
Speaking of beets, some bad beets so far in camp. Chiefs receiver Marquise Brown, according to George Schultz, is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with the sternoclavicular
shoulder
injury he suffered per multiple sources. Opening night is 3 weeks from Thursday.
Tomorrow, brother.
That's right.
3 weeks from tomorrow.
Should we have known that we were probably going to go a period of time without Marquise Brown? Played one full season as an NFL player.
I think you knew that kind of going in. You looked at, like, this guy never plays a complete season, right? Yeah. So it's better to get it out of the way now.
Is it, though,
can get injuries out of the way. Yeah, it's
because
fine.
Of the way the season starts.
Yeah.
I mean, I go back and look at your first four games. You play at home against Baltimore. You play at home against Cincinnati, on the road to Atlanta, and then the Chargers week four. Target time that he comes back is the Atlanta game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all, because I've got Patrick Mahomes and I've got Andy Reid, and they've got 3 or really 4 weeks essentially, you know, from the time the injury happened to prepare for Baltimore, which they've been preparing for since the schedule came out in May. And so I would be more concerned, quite honestly, if we lost him, like if he was a big part of what we were doing, and then it's week 8 and this guy goes down for a month and you're like, oh my God, what are we supposed to do now? This guy was the number one target. He was always there for Mahomes and whatnot. You're starting the season without him. So you never really have. Him, right? And so when you add him in, hopefully by week 3, you know, the Atlanta game, it's an infusion. It's a new guy. It's something different. It gives you that little kind of spunk that maybe you're going to need after the first 2 weeks of those high intensity type games. It's giving people an opportunity to step up. I don't get concerned about this kind of stuff. Okay. It's just not in my repertoire because I believe so much in Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And until they show me they can't get the job done, I'm going to continue to believe that we're going to be just fine. And the proof is in the pudding from last year when they didn't have anybody, close to the quality of Hollywood Brown, and they still found a way to win the Super Bowl. So that's how much I believe in Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Like, I'm not even thinking about Hollywood Brown right now. And I know they aren't. And that's the way you have to be. Like, you can't sit here and think about the players that you don't have and the injuries. Because when you start doing that, it takes away the focus of what you need to do, and that's go out there and win football games. And I know people are like, man, they just move on. Like, yeah, that's kind of the MO in the NFL, and the teams that do that and move on and are able to move on from injuries are the teams that do have the success. The ones that dwell on the injuries and sit there and let it fester and never able to get past it, that's going to drag them back down. So this organization is well-equipped to not have Hollywood Brown for a couple of weeks.
You look at the receiver room moving forward, though. I will say the one positive of a negative is that at least it happened week one in preseason, and the planner that Andy Reid is, that gives him still 3 weeks, which all he needs is 1 week, but it gives him 3 weeks to go into the game against Baltimore with a plan without using Marquise Hollywood Brown. But Mac, this is where you thrive, because the nerd in all of us when it comes to sports, the receivers that step up in the room, Justin Ross, right? Mm-hmm. He's the hot commodity.
A lot of
the
people talking
name.
About him. I saw, right, Carrington tweet something. He goes like, Chiefs Twitter's been kind of dead on Justin Ross this year. Have we moved on to somebody else? And I don't know.
So you bring up some numbers. Xavier Worthy, right?
Yeah, plus 700 to lead rookies in receiving yards.
Okay. If he has 700 yards this year, three-peat. Facts.
Oh, God, yeah. I think Xavier Worthy has 3 to 5 touchdowns and 700 to 800 yards. This is an offense that's humming, man. This is an offense that's doing what you need to do, yeah.
Travis Kelce tied for best odds with Drake London, the fantastic receiver in Atlanta, for touchdowns, plus 3,400 to lead the league in touchdowns.
I mean, his pitch count's been lowered. Last season we saw that. We're going to see that again this year. We're kind of load managing him, so I don't love it. But again, without Marquise Brown, I mean, you got to at least think about it, right?
Well, they didn't have Marquise Brown last year, and his load management wasn't exactly the highest either.
No, that's
so
fair.
I mean, like, I think too many people view the Chiefs offense from a fantasy football lens, and I think that's a mistake, because it's not about, leading the league in touchdowns. No. It's not about leading the league in yards. So many people judge the effectiveness on an offense and what they're doing based on the stats. I judge it by wins and losses. That's the only stat that matters to me. And so we can look at like all of this and like what to expect and what you think is going to happen. And at the end of the day, they're going to just figure out ways to win football games, whether it's getting the ball to Travis Kelce a lot, whether it's getting it to, Xavier Worthy a lot, whether it's getting it to Mecole Hardman, whether it's getting it to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, whether it's getting it to Isaiah Pacheco. The beauty of it is they believe in all of these guys, and they're not going to go out there and just feed one person. And from, the years of that we've been doing this, I've been stressing to people, as the years go by, the regular season means less and less to this organization. And it's not about going out there and making sure Travis Kelce gets 1,000 yards. Because if that was the case, he would have played last year in that final game of the season and got the 1,000 yards. They look at it and they go, he needs the break. They're not interested in any of those stats. They're not interested in making sure that the stat sheet pops, for a lot of these guys. They're interested in finding ways to win games and really win games when it matters most. And so we criticize the load management in the NBA. But I think we do have a little bit of that going on right now. There's been series where Travis Kelce hasn't played and whatnot, and I'm good with that. I don't think we need to go out there and abuse these guys in the regular season when the goal is to be fresh for January. And look how fresh Travis Kelce was in January last year and how great he played in the postseason last year because of the way that they managed him all season.
Another number is 7.5 receptions for Travis Kelce. Hammer that over.
Yeah, I think that's probably
he's at 80, yeah. 85, yeah. I think, easily.
Yeah, has not had under that since 2015.
Okay, yeah, that's a big number. But again, if they decide to go to a little bit of load management, we start to see that, Travis is going to play this series and take this series off or this series, and it depends on how good Wiley is, and if Wiley's even as close to as advertised from a lot of people, maybe they start to work him in a little bit more to take that pressure off, of Travis Kelce. Because again, if Travis Kelce catches you 60 balls this year and they still go 13-4 and they're in the postseason and then he turns it on in the playoffs, that's what you want. I mean, and that's where the Chiefs are now as an organization. And that's why for me with the regular season, when people are getting bent and oh my God, It's about what you do in the playoffs. And all of this is lead up to setting the table for what they're going to do in January and go after that three-peat. And that's the thing that's the most important to the Chiefs this year. It's not a win in week eight against whoever. It's what can we do in week eight that's going to help us be better in January. And that's the way that they view this thing. That's the way that they look at this thing. It's all geared for the three-peat, and it's all geared for winning in January.
I also wonder, from a fantasy aspect, Mac, you can atone to this. When does Travis Kelce sort of take that Jason Witten role? I'm not comparing the two, but when
you mean in the broadcast booth?
Chill.
I hope never.
No, when Jason
Witten Travis will be good.
Exactly, that's the thing.
Yeah. No, when Jason Witten got towards the end of his career in Dallas, they just used him as a red zone threat, and he was unstoppable.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, we don't need you to go out there and catch 80 passes. We don't need you to go out there and get 800 yards. We just need you inside the 20 and just get two or three plays that they can't stop. And it was something like Jason Witten had like 750 yards, but he had like, I think like 12 touchdowns.
Do you think he's slowing down though, Travis Kelce? Yes. I mean, you do see, I
age
don't.
Age is undefeated. Time waits for no man.
It is. And I think this year is going to be a very telling sign whether or not he's slowing down. But like, you know, Robin Carrington last year, oh, he's cut him. He's old. Like I look at Travis Kelce right now. I go, maybe he looks old and he's slowing down in the regular season. But again, the regular season doesn't matter. It just doesn't. It's how you play in the postseason. And he looked like a 25-year-old beast in the postseason last year.
No doubt about it. Some things never change with Mike Florio. And an old friend alert talks to a new friend, or the GOAT of your franchise. Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, this is 610 Sports Radio for one last time on Fox, on Fesco in the Morning.
Or Fox Sports.
Boy, this song hits close to home. Back here on a Way Back Wednesday, 913-586-7610. You request a song, you leave your name, and Mac does the rest, because this is the last Way Back Wednesday for this show.
Last day of 610 Sports Radio as well. So
last day of Fesco in the Morning.
Sold half the show to Dusty.
That's right.
Took out a nice payday with that one.
Mm-hmm. Mac, where's this one come from?
This is from Dustin in Derby, Kansas. El Camino by Logan Mize.
I want an El Camino, man.
My buddy's uncle has one.
Is it like in good shape?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's sick.
Apparently the song's by a South Central Kansas native. There you go.
It's about or by, did
by,
you say?
By.
Great.
913-586-7610. Drop your favorite 610 memory. We'll bring it up. Bob gave you permission. If you want to call in,
call in, man. Free. Yeah, we want to hear your voice. Last day is 610. There's no other day to call.
I'll give you my top five moments at 8 o'clock. Bob will give you his top five moments in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll have the skipper of the Royals, Mac Cotrero, on at 9. And the Royals play today at 12:10 as they avoid the sweep. Cole Reagan's on the mound going up against a guy who is 0-4 with a 4-plus ERA.
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
I told you that guy last night was going to pitch well against the Royals. That's just the way it goes, man.
I knew it was going to go south as soon as Massey hit that ball to left field, and the guy made a catch out of his mind. And I was like, well, that's foreshadowing.
That guy's name was Waller, and he made the catch at the wall.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do you see that?
Once, and once was enough.
Was that a great catch, or was that he was like out of position and it looked like a great catch?
Well, they keep saying on the broadcast that early games in Minnesota are tough because of the lighting.
Well, you see that sun in there,
yeah,
right?
So I think it's a little bit of both. I think that was one of those smalls catches where he just says, please catch it.
Right,
please
catch it. I think you're right about that. That's why, like, oh, what a great catch that was. Was that a great catch, or was that guy just like out of position and that should have been an easy catch up against? Well, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but that sun does look like it's brutal. You know, in the eyes of everybody at that 640 start.
We teased it that Mike Florio is a bag. He sucks.
Mm-hmm.
As of week one looms, the NFL has yet to interview or meet with Rashee Rice.
Okay. Why would they meet with Rashee Rice or interview him?
My question is, what is it? What's the deal? Why does Florio care?
Yeah, why does he care? Well, he does care because he's a Chiefs troll, and he was the same guy who advocated to hurt Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. I mean, I think we all maybe forget that. Maybe we don't. I don't think we should. He's also the guy who said that Andy Reid was retiring and was dying on that vine while I was telling everybody Andy Reid's working on a new contract and he's going nowhere. So I don't understand, I guess, why Florio thinks that the NFL should be meeting with Rashee Rice. I mean, this is a situation where, let's put it in your shoes or anybody's shoes. You do something wrong with the law, does your company get involved while the legal process is taking place? Probably not, right? Maybe they fire you, maybe they don't. I don't know. This is the NFL. Things work a little bit differently there, but the legal process does not start until December 9th. That's when the trial is, right? That's when the court date is, the hearing, whatever you want to call it, for Rashee Rice. It's August 14th. I mean, so there's really nothing for the league to talk about right now with Rashee Rice, right? There's really nothing for them to discuss with Rashee Rice. And as we've talked about in the last couple of weeks, they don't expect the suspension for Rashee Rice to happen this year because of A, when the court date is, and B, you've got to let the legal stuff play its way out before the NFL even gets involved. And so by the time the court date plays out, the season's over, and they're not going to suspend a guy, at least in my opinion anyway, as you're getting ready to head into the postseason, right? If there's going to be a suspension for Rashee Rice, it would probably be a year from now if there's going to be a suspension. But I'm asking again, what did he do that warrants an NFL suspension? Like, just because you get in trouble doesn't mean that you're going to get A, convicted, or B, suspended by the league. Yes, what he did wasn't great, but does that warrant a 4-6 game suspension like people want to talk about for Rashee Rice? I don't think it does.
I mean, looking at the, you know, the situation and looking at what the NFL does, there's one thing the NFL tends to do, and that is they like to make an example out of somebody.
Sure.
Correct? The Henry Ruggs thing was tragic.
Yeah.
And he wasn't able to get suspended.
Killed somebody.
Right. And was speeding.
Right.
Was hammered and, you know, killed a human and a dog.
Right.
And the NFL wasn't able to do anything because he went straight to jail.
Straight to jail.
Do not collect $200. Goodbye.
Right. Yeah.
And the NFL then gets the Rashee Rice thing, where nobody died, thankfully.
Right.
But there was a multiple amount of accidents and injuries and all that. He left the scene, went into hiding, kind of had a little bit of insubordination sort of stuff, right, like that. And that leads me to my point of, well, now the NFL can get their hands on it, because then you just saw, you know, fast forward the clocks, Jordan Addison, right?
Mm-hmm.
Reckless driving. His teammate had just passed away.
Right.
And Jordan Addison, yet to be suspended, yet to be, you know, talked to by the league. So if they can do one thing, I think it is to set an example so that other young athletes don't do this. A la, here's Rashee Rice. Yes, fortunately, nobody was, you know, killed or severely injured, but it's like, we don't want this to continue. We don't want this to be a trend. You, sir, get suspended for X amount of games. Maybe that happens. Maybe that doesn't happen.
Do you think that really has an effect, though, on the way people operate? And I'm asking because I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, if Rash, let's just say Rashee Rice got suspended, do you think other dudes that maybe are in college or in the NFL right now are looking at that going, well, Rashee Rice got suspended, so I'm not going to reckless drive? I don't think it has an impact. You're shaking your head
no, Mac.
Like, I don't think, like, we want to set an example or do all that moral police kind of stuff. I don't know how much of that really works.
You guys are 21, 22 years old,
think,
man.
Think about when you were 21 or 22 years old,
just
right?
Just yesterday.
Yeah, for you it was. For me, I kind of look back at the diaries.
The Royals win their first World Series. I think that's when Bob turned 21. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Unnecessary shot.
That's all right.
I think it makes a lesson if it affects their wallet. Which, obviously, Rashee Rice hasn't gotten that,
like,
big contract.
Like, it would make an effect on you. Like, if you did something wrong and 96.5 of the Fan beginning tomorrow suspended you for 4 weeks without pay.
Ouch.
Whew. Like, it affects me from the show standpoint, but it's going to affect you from a wallet standpoint. That has no impact on me whatsoever, right? It doesn't affect me. So it affects the individual. I think we create these scenarios in sports that we think, like, all this kumbaya stuff happens. Mm-hmm. When it really doesn't. Like, I hate to break the news to you. If Rashee Rice got suspended for 4 games or whatever it is, the organization's just going to move on. Like, that's how it works. I mean, you just move on in life. I think everybody kind of operates that way. Well, he's not here anymore, so we'll just move on. It just happens. And I just don't think by suspending you is going to have an impact on me, or suspending me is going to have an impact on Mac, or suspending Rashee Rice is going to have a trickle-down effect where nobody's going to reckless drive anymore. I still think you get into situations and kids are kids, you know?
Yeah, people are going to people.
Yeah, they are. Right. Yeah, they are. So I'm just trying to think, like, what Rashee Rice really did deep down that warrants a huge suspension from the NFL. I feel like Mike Florio continues to stir this up because he is so mad that he's been owned by Kansas City.
And been wrong about Kansas City.
Well, the NFL also is inconsistent on the suspensions, but right, one thing they are consistent about is waiting until legal does its process. Right. And that's not going to happen this year. So it's irrelevant.
Now, sometimes they can say, you know, oh, you embarrassed the Shield and whatnot. Did this embarrass the Shield? No. I don't think that it did. It was a mistake that this guy made.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He understands, I think, that he made this mistake. And I think he's going to move on. It's just, it's this, the troll Florio keeps wanting to throw things out there about this organization because he wants to try to run them down. And that's the kind of the MO that I'm seeing. You want to injure Patrick Mahomes. You wanted to start a nonsensical story that Andy.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Reed was retiring in the middle of a playoff run. Now you're bringing up Rashee Rice. It's a clear vendetta.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.